I'm glad you guys are here. We're going to have a great time this morning. I feel so blessed. I say this every, but I hope you guys know I really mean this. Yeah, I have a great life. I get to come on Sunday morning. I get to come to a church I love to be at, be with people I love to be with, and what a blessing it is to have that experience. I just enjoy being here. Hope you know how much I enjoy having you guys a part of my life and enjoy that experience, because I began this message about you drive me crazy. Now, honestly, there are some of you that do drive me crazy, all right? I'm going to have to be honest with you. You know, I couldn't be truthful if I didn't say some of you do drive me crazy. What do you do when people drive you crazy? You know, I pray hard about what God wants me to preach. You need to understand that. I seek God's wisdom. It's like ideas pop into your head, and you're going, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to say this? And you pray diligently about what God wants you to say. And so several months ago, I began leading this way with a series of messages. And I can see why. All right? This, you know, the year starts out, that's going to be fun, and then, you know, people push your buttons. I mean, I walk to church, you know, I have that long commute, right? I live just on the other side of the school here. I got to, you know, that's a long walk on Monday morning to get here, and it's cold. I got to wear my Dallas Cowboy jacket that's leather, keeps me warm, you know. But I walk down the sidewalk right here. I walk over, and I look on our gate back here, and somebody tagged the gate. Big old letters on the gate, you know. And the week before that, somebody had tagged the door over here, you know, and on one of the air conditioning units, you know. And then they tagged that, And so it's like, oh, man, you know, fortunately Brenda covers it all up. She went out there and painted over it, and she painted on the wall. They tagged the wall a few months ago, and then I look over. They tagged inside the garbage bin. They jumped the fence, and they tagged inside the garbage bin and on the other wall and the light pole. That's Monday, so it's like, okay, so, you know, I walk around the building. Tuesday morning, I come down to the church, walk around the building. They over here, and they tag the electrical thing on Monday night, you know, and it's like, you're pushing my buttons. Now, I don't know about you, but I do have a great idea of how to deal with people who tag, all right? Anybody remember the movie Leslie Nelson, Naked Gun? Anybody remember that? And the guys are tagging the wall. What had happened to the wall? Anybody remember? The wall painted them back. You know, I think, that, you know, what do you do when people push your buttons? You know, how do you deal with that? You know, it's like, it's a wonderful time. I'm excited about the year. God has blessed us with this wonderful building. And then people are walking around. I talked to the school because they had tagged the electrical box over here. I told John, the head of maintenance at the school, on Tuesday. They covered it up Wednesday morning. I walked by this morning, and guess what? It's tagged again. You know, it's like, man, what do you do when people push your buttons? Now, my wife sent me a picture. I hope I don't tick her off if this is true. I want you to look at this picture here that my wife sent me. Well, let's go on. We might have to back up. I don't know if you could read that or not. But what it says is this: whenever I get mad at you, you never seem to get upset. How do you control, manage your anger, your temper? I just go and clean the toilet. How does that help? I use your toothbrush. Now, I don't know if my wife is telling me something or not. Yeah, she sent me that the other day. You know, what do we do? You know, how do we handle anger? How do we handle our temper? How do we handle those people that just drive us crazy? They just irritate us. They just agitate us. Let's back up to that scripture. And here's that description. In your worship folder, you get a little outline. I encourage you to get it out. We're going to fill in some blanks, maybe circle some words. If you cannot control your anger, you are helpless as a city without walls, open to attack. You've just opened yourself up for trouble. If you can't control your anger, you just opened yourself up for also. It's like a city that has no walls. It's easy to attack, you know. And you want to make and when you say, "Well, they made me do it," you're giving them control of your life. You're giving them control. Look at the next scripture. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. A fool is quick-tempered. How do we deal with this? You know, do you have a hair trigger? You know, it just takes a little button to push and you lose it. How do we deal with this? How do we deal with these emotions? And how do we deal with all these things that happen in our life? And how do we deal with those that just drive us crazy? You know, have you ever had that? You're at an event. Maybe you're at work. Maybe it's Christmas. Maybe it's a family gathering. Maybe it's just the neighborhood and somebody walks in and it's that person that just irritates and you just see them. You just go, anybody? Anybody ever, you know, it just drives you bananas. You know, what do you do with that? Here's what the scripture says. Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. See, it's better to be patient. I want you to notice something. We're going to be in Proverbs today because Proverbs is just full of it. It's just full of all this great teaching on how to deal with this. Because here's what I want you to know this morning. We learn how to respond with our anger. Okay, our anger response, our temper response is somewhat born into us, but we learn that. We can learn it from our parents. We can learn it from our friends. We can learn it from movies. We can learn it from games and people, they play those game things, you know, that Xbox and all those things. You can learn how, you learn to respond in ways through those events and those things in your life. And we learn that response, that anger, that quick temper. You know, as we go through the matter, I'm going to be honest with you, I had, and my wife might still say, I still have a quick temper, you know, but it runs in the family, so I got an excuse, right? Yeah, come on, it runs in the family, it's the way I was raised. Does that play out? Yeah. But we learn. But here's what's good. If you learn it, guess what? You can unlearn it. That's what I want to dwell on today. What I want us to think about today is we've learned to respond in certain ways. We've learned to react in certain ways. And maybe it's good, maybe it's good, and maybe it's not. And so I want to kind of look at what can we do. So 2 points I want to look at this morning is, how do people get angry? What are those angry ways? And then how do we not? How do we get over it? What are some appropriate ways to respond to anger? So I got 4 quick things of how people respond to anger. The first one is there's a machine gun style. All right, I'm kind of make fun of this. It's kind of a machine gun style. You might know this person. This person, they get mad. Somebody said I spelt it wrong. Does that surprise you guys? You guys are going to tick me off. You're pushing my button. All right, I cannot spell. You guys know the only C I got in college was English, all right? Everything else was A's and B's, and it's not because I was smart. It's because I just took the right classes to get A's and B's, all right? But it's a machine gun style. You know, this person is the one, they just wipe everybody out. There's no such thing as collateral damage. You're damaged, all right? They just blow everybody away. They're a ticking time bomb. Anybody know a person like this? You know, they just walk around and it just doesn't, you know, Mount Vesuvius, you know, or anybody familiar with Mount St. Helen? You know, that mountain up there in Washington that blew up quite a few years ago. You know, they just blow up. And that's a machine gun kind of person. They're just going to shoot everybody, shoot anything that moves in their way. They're going to cuss. They're going to yell. You don't have to worry if this person's mad. You know it. You know when this person gets mad, things might even fly when it gets mad. And it's not talking about their temper that flies, all right? You know, this person just lets it go. I was watching. Anybody watch college football, all the bowl games? Anybody besides me? I turn on quite a few of the games this year. I love the names of these bowl games. I love the names. The one I was watching, they got some weird, I remember the Sugar Bowl, the Peach Bowl. That's the games I remember, you know. Now, this one I was watching, the Beef O'Brady Bowl. What's the Beef O'Brady Bowl? I don't have any idea, but I was watching, it was Ohio playing. And what they did there in the movie, they showed a little clip of several years ago of Ohio playing. They had a coach named Woody Hayes. And anybody remember anybody in the ballpark with me? Woody Hayes was a great coach for Ohio. And one game, and they showed the clip of the game. One game, his players, something fell apart, and the other team scored a touchdown, and he went on the field and karate chopped the player on the other team. And they showed that little clip. Anybody remember that besides me? Come on now, you guys bail me out here. Am I that old? Or wait, I'm that young. You know? Yeah. And he just lost his temper. He lost everything. You know? Anybody ever watch basketball? Anybody watch basketball? Know a guy named Bobby Knight? Anybody know a guy named Bobby Knight from Indiana? Yeah. He is known for what? Not only coaching great basketball players and achieving great things in basketball, he is known because he's thrown chairs on the field and on the court. He loses his, you know, there's people like that out there, you know, that lose it. Hopefully there's nobody in here like, none of us are like that, right? Nobody. I see some fingers. Don't look at him right now. Mike, you know, don't give any hints. You know, but we have that machine gun type of reaction, and we know that one's not right. But there's a guy in the Bible. Anybody know a guy named Cain in the Bible? See, Cain and Abel, the first two brothers, you know, and you look at the story, and Cain got a little aggravated when God didn't receive his offering as well as he accepted his brother's Abel. And I like the way this version put the story. Look at what it says. This made Cain so angry that he could not hide his feelings. He was that machine gun. He's blowing up. Cain said to his brother, Abel, let's go for a walk. And when they were out in the field, Cain killed him. You know, he just couldn't handle it. He just blew up. And he killed his brother. That's the machine gun style. The other one is, how about the next one? I call it the mute, all right? The mute. Did I spell this one right? Mutes? All right, I got one spelling right. We have the mutes here. Now, this is the absolute opposite of the machine gun. This one's the one that goes around and just clams up. They don't blow up, they clam up. All right? My wife's sitting over there like that because this is my wife. Never mind, I can't go there. All right? They just clam up, all right? They don't get violent, they get silent, all right? This is their response. You know? And you ask them, are you angry? What do they say? Anybody? No, I'm not angry. You can see the steam coming out of their ears. You know they're hot. You know, but no, they're not going to tell you they're hot. They're going to deny it. You know, they're going to pretend like everything's okay. They're going to pretend like nothing's wrong. They're going to deny. You know, they're going to refuse. You know, no, everything's cool. But you know that's not the truth. You know, it's kind of like a crock pot. It's just sitting there simmering. And it just simmers away, and it hangs there. And these are the mute, you know, they just deny those feelings, okay? And I'm going to tell you, even though they don't blow up and they don't machine gun everybody, it's still just as damaging as the others, you know? And we need to see and understand that, because see, what they'll do is they'll swallow all that anger. And when you swallow that anger, guess what? It comes out. It comes out in ulcers. Anybody? It comes out in heart problems. It does come out. One way or another, it's going to come out. Those feelings you cannot deny. And so even those silent ones, it's just simmering inside, and they keep swallowing it in, and inside it's just eating away at them. And they have all these health issues, headaches. Anybody know what I'm talking about here in this one? You know, they're not going to let anybody know. Everything's cool. So you got machine gun people. You got mute people. How about the martyr? Oh, let me look at a scripture here. Let me look at a scripture for the mutes, because I want to make sure you understand. There's people in the Bible that were like this. That's what I love about the Bible. It has no hidden. You can't hide anything when you're in the Bible, all right? You read those Bible characters, they couldn't hide it, which I like, because it makes us understand that, you know what? Even though we're flawed and not perfect, God still loves us. That's what's exciting about the Bible. You know, even though we're not perfect, God still loves us. Here we got a story of Jeremiah. This guy, he's called the weeping prophet. This guy kind of went around whining all the time, all right? I named my son Jeremiah. Hopefully he doesn't whine. But this is kind of the whining prophet. He just went around bemoaning. And he kind of blames God. Listen how he blames God here. I do not spend my time with other people, laughing and having a good time. In obedience to your orders, I stayed by myself and was filled with anger. God, it's your fault. I'm swallowing my anger. It's your fault. Why do I keep on suffering? Why are my wounds incurable? Why won't they heal? Do you intend to disappoint me like a stream that goes dry in the summer? You see this guy? You know, he throws a pity party and he invites himself. I'm going to have a party. Come on, here we go. I'm poor me. Anybody ever know people like that? Yeah. How about the elder brother? We're going to look at martyrs now. The martyr is the one with the crazy makers. It goes like this. It's not the crazy maker, it's them. All right. The martyr is, it's not the crazy maker that's crazy. They're the crazy ones. They're trying to figure out, what did I do wrong? Why is it me? Why is it always me? Why does this always happen to me? You know, I must have did something wrong. I must have said something wrong. They're martyrs. They're blaming themselves. It's all about them. They're punishing themselves. It's not the crazy maker that's crazy. They're the crazy ones. I must have did something. It's my fault they do this. It's my fault they behave. It's my fault they said this. And they blame themselves. It's the martyr. You know, poor me. And they live this kind of life like that. And they just martyr themselves. And again, this is in the Bible. This is the prodigal brother. Remember the prodigal son and brother? Remember the prodigal son went to his dad and says, hey, dad, the younger boy, you know, give me all my inheritance now. You know, and dad says, well, I don't think it's wise, But since you asked, I'm going to give it. You give him all this thing. He goes out and blows everything, just wastes everything. He has nothing left. Remember, he's living in a pigsty. He goes home, and his dad receives him, welcomes him, and dad throws a big old party for him. But his brother that stayed behind had a problem. Dad had a cow and gave it to his brother and gave a big old party for his brother. And dad, you never did a party for me. Poor little old me. You do this for your brother. And he wasted everything. God, why are you doing it for him? What about me? Look at the elder brother was so angry that he would not go into the house. So his father came out and begged him to come in. Poor me. Poor me. He's so mad at his brother. He's so mad at his dad that you throw a party for him. I want a party too. And he gets so mad with his anger. See, there's machine gun anger where you just blow everybody away. You know, collateral damage and all. Just waste everybody. There's mute where you just don't say anything. Just clam up. You know. And then there's the martyr. And then we get to the one that I was probably more like, and probably if I am honest, I like this way. It's called the manipulator. All right? It's called the manipulator. I got to be careful in this area. This is the game I can kind of play because it's really a game. See, the manipulator, what he does is slyly, sneaky. He works behind the scenes. This is a good way. All right? No, it's not. Just be aware. It's not. And he's just sets you guys up to fail. See? Works around the corners and works around, so I didn't do anything. You did it to yourself. You know? And yeah, he's mad at you, and he just kind of manipulates the situation to where it all blows up. And if you catch him, it's like, I was just joking. You know, but they manipulate the situation, and they're going to work it out. See, this is, like I said, this is one that I worry about for me. You know, that, you know, being on some committees and on different things. And I have to guard myself because it's like, sure, treat me that way. I know people and I know situations and I know how to. We're going to crash and burn. Yeah. That's a manipulator. And people do that. You know, they manipulate the situation and they manipulate the circumstances and they manipulate your words and they fix your little wagon. How's that one go? Anybody ever heard that statement, fix your wagon? You know, they kind of play that game, and they want to fix your wagon. And that's a manipulator, you know. They just kind of work. They're sly. They're sly. And they work behind the scenes, and they're subtle as they do this. And they plot, and they plan, and they figure it out. These are the Pharisees in the Bible. Remember Jesus going around preaching, great things are happening? But the Pharisees and their teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. They kind of worked behind the scenes. How can we get Jesus? What can we do? How can we make him, you know, it's like, well, he's, you know, let's ask him a question. Which is the greatest? You know, let's ask him a question. Do you give to Caesar or don't you give to Caesar? Let's try to manipulate the situation and try to get Jesus to fail. I want to ask you, which one, does any of these kind of play out in your mind for you? And as you look at your life, like I say, honestly with you, I am kind of, and I can be kind of a machine gun individual. Laura would probably testify to that. And I can kind of sometimes, if I'm not careful, kind of work around the corners and be a manipulator. I got to watch those things. Yeah. And those are not the best way to deal with anger. All right? I mean, if I want to be a fool and if I want to do other things, it's not the best way to deal with anger. So how can we deal with anger? I found something on the internet to solve my problem. And if you get angry, I found this on the internet. Anger soothe. All right? It's just a peel away, okay? I couldn't believe this. I typed something into Google, and up came this ad with the very first thing. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. So they got a pill for your anger now. I mean, they can get a pill for anything. I was reading that, and I'm just going, wait a minute. Now, you notice I took the web page off. I didn't want anybody calling them. All right, I took the phone number off. I didn't want anybody saying, I needed one of these pills. I'm going to tell you, it's not a pill that's going to solve your problem. It's the presence of Jesus Christ that solves your problem, okay? I'm going to lay the foundation with that, all right? But I thought this was the funniest thing. Take a pill for anything. You're angry? Take a pill. Anger will go away. Sure. Yeah. I just couldn't believe this. But so how do we do it? So I got five things real quick. I'm going to just real quick go over five things to help us disarm, disable, and deal with anger. Five things that will help us manage our anger. And so I want to look at this. The first one here is calculate the cost of anger. Anger always has a price. Do you hear me now? You will always lose something when you are angry. And it's not just your temper that you lose, okay? Anger has a price when you lose it. I love the Proverbs. Look at what Proverbs says. Let's go through these. An angry person causes trouble. Why don't you circle that? A person with a quick temper sins a lot. Why don't you circle that? Let's go on down to Proverbs 15, 18. Hot tempers cause arguments. Why don't you circle that? But patience brings peace. Proverbs 14, 29. A wise man controls his temper. He knows that anger causes mistakes. Why don't you circle mistakes? Look at Proverbs 14, 17. People with a hot temper do foolish things. Wise people remain calm. You know, I read over those, and I look at that. Cause trouble, sins a lot, arguments, mistakes, foolishness. Isn't that true when you get mad? Have you ever got mad and one of those things happened when you got mad? Anybody besides me? Yeah. Lose my temper, get mad. I always remember talking to my sister-in-law one time. Because, see, it runs in the family, you know, my brother. Walked out of the door one day as he's off to work, and his wife goes to the screen door and says, "You didn't kiss me goodbye." And she locks the screen door, so he can't get the door open. So my brother very wisely just takes the screen door off. You know, just rips the screen door off. You know, and you know, you think he's going to get a kiss now? Yeah, kiss goodbye. You know. You always lose something. You can lose love. You lose relationships. You lose jobs. You lose friendships. I mean, it just goes down. When you lose your temper, you lose something. So what I'm saying is you got to stop and count the cost. What's it going to cost me? What's it going to cost? Is it going to cost me my respect? I was watching that Beef O'Brady football game, watching Ohio, and I remember Woody Hayes. He was a great coach. Back in those days, I am a USC, UCLA fan, okay, just to kind of be honest with you. I always, you know, 70, 73, USC, Alabama. I can tell you all the big teams back in then, that time. And Ohio was one of them, and so was Michigan. And Woody Hayes was a great coach, but he lost everything. Bobby Knight at basketball, great basketball coach. Indiana won champion. Indiana, he had this great winning record. Coached some great players. You know, lost everything. You lose something when you lose your temper. It is foolishness. It does cause trouble. It does cause arguments. It does cause mistakes. You do lose something when you lose your temper. So we always have to stop and count the cost. Stop and count what it's going to cost. If I lose my temper, if I respond in anger, if I let my emotions take control, what's it going to cost me? What am I going to lose in this situation? All right? And so count the cost. Just stop for a moment and count the cost. What would my anger cost me in this situation? Will I lose that respect? Would I lose this relationship? Could I lose my job? Look at what it says here in Proverbs 14, 29. Those who control their anger have great understanding. Those with a hasty temper make mistakes. You have great understanding. When you control your temper, you have great understanding. And here, let me give you a little hint. When you have understanding, you can be understood. Did you understand that? When you have understanding, you can be understood. And so count the cost in the midst of that anger. Just pause and think. What's this going to cost me? What's the price of this anger? Second one, look past their words to their pain. Now, I covered this one a lot last week. If you didn't hear last week's message, I started the series. You can go on the internet and listen to the message, last week's message. It's really, again, I'll toot my own horn. It's a good message, all right? Yeah. And you can go on there and you can listen to the message because I really covered this because the point is this. Excuse me. Hurt people hurt people. Remember that from last week? those who were here. Hurt people hurt people. We need to look past their words to see why are they feeling that way. What's causing them to feel that way? What's bringing this out? You know, we need to step back and look, there's some pain. See, loving people don't act that way. So when an unloving person acts that way, when a person is being unloving, it tells you something, that they need to be loved. When a person who's been hurt responds in a way that hurts back, it shouldn't make sense. I love that study we did, one of our 40-day studies, and I tell you this every time, and it's burned in my mind from that very study. We need to understand those three B's. When somebody's having a problem, we're having a problem with somebody, I love these three B's. What's causing the problem? Is it a background? Is it something in their past? Is it a battle that they're fighting right now? Is there a battle that's going on and I'm not part of it, but I'm getting the collateral damage of it? Or is it a burden that they're going through right now? Is there a burden in their life? And I remember that study, and I just like that idea. As people react and I see people, instead of getting mad and getting angry with them, stop, count the cost, and then why? What's going on? Is there something in their life that's hurting right now? Is there something that's causing them pain right now? You know, when they're bitter, when they're rude, when they're sarcastic, when they got a mean spirit, why are they doing that? You know, there's usually something behind that. It may not have anything to do with you. You just could be that collateral damage. You know, it's like a guy come home from work and he kicks the dog. Why'd he kick the dog? I don't know. Something happened at work. Had nothing to do with the dog. And we need to see this in our lives, and we need to see that. We got to stop and think about what's that pain? What's going on in their life? You know, do they need that kindness? Do they need some compassion? Do they need some love? You know, we don't need to give them what they deserve. We need to give them what they don't deserve, like God does for us. Yeah. And we need to see that in our lives. Look at what it says in God's Word, Proverbs 19:11. A man of wisdom gives him patience, to his glory, to overlook an offense. I like that last part. Overlook an offense. Overlook an offense. And so we need to have a little understanding. Why are they feeling that way? You know, did I say something? Is there something at work? Is there something at home? Is there something in another relationship? What's going on? You know? And so we need to see that. It's a glory to overlook it. You know, to let it slide. What else do we have? Let's see. Let's go on. Look at this next one. Think before reacting. Think before reacting. Stop. Count the cost. Don't just react. Look for the pain. And think before reacting. What's going on? What's happening here? Let me give you a couple of questions. You might want to write these down. I thought these were really good questions, so I wrote them down on my notes. Why am I angry? Why am I angry? What did you do? What did they do? What's making me angry? Is it really them, or is it something else for me? Why am I angry? And then, what do I really want? Do I want to win the battle? Can you win the battle in an argument and still lose? Anybody? Anybody ever do that in a marriage? Win the argument, you still lose? You know? It's like, I was right. Yeah, you're right. But you ain't eating tonight. Yeah. Anybody know? Come on now. You guys know what I'm talking about here. What do you really want? I mean, you know, is it winning that matters? Being right that matters? I'm right and I proved it. I'm always right. The man is always right, right? Come on. Amen. See, I got a few amens. I got a few amens on that one. See, is that what do you want in the midst of these arguments? You know, it's why am I angry and what do I really want? And the last one is, how can I get it? How can I get what I want? Yeah. For me, and this is the thing, you know, as I've gotten older, I'm not old yet, but as I've gotten older, here's what I realized. You know what the most important thing in life is? Jesus nailed it, all right? Jesus nailed it, all right? You need to understand. Jesus got it right. The most important thing in life. Matter of fact, when he was asked the question, he said it's two things. He didn't name one because it is two. Love God and love others. Relationships. That's what I want. You know what? How can I get it? I want a relationship. How do I get it? By getting mad? Yeah. Getting even? Yeah. And we need to stop and think. What's causing this? Why am I doing this? Thomas Jefferson said, when you get angry, count to, anybody? 10, all right. If you're really angry, count to 100. That's what he said. He literally said that. Yeah. And we need to stop and count. So here, I'm going to meddle a little bit, all right? You're going to have to give me some grace here, all right? I'm not going to speak on what on the Bible right now. I'm going to tell you some common sense, all right? It might be worth a few cents, all right? Text, Facebook, email will get you in trouble, all right? You need to listen to me. They will get you. I can't say don't do it, but I'm going to tell you don't do it. I can't quote you a Bible verse. But you know when somebody sends you that Facebook or that text message, you ever get that and you look at that and you, anybody? Come on now. Don't say they're all innocent. I've read some of your Facebooks, okay? I've seen some of that stuff. All right? I'm going to tell you, stop and think. Stop and think. You don't have to answer every text message. You don't have to answer every Facebook. You don't have to answer every email. You don't have to get into it. I told you this last week. You know, if somebody wants to fight and argue, if I don't argue, they can't have a fight. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to, you know, people post things. If you want to post things about me, post whatever you want because I'm not going to respond. You need to know that. I am not going to respond when people post things about me on Facebook. I'm just not. Now, if they want to have fun with me and post about anger and driving, I might say I like it. Thanks, Chris. Chris sent out a Facebook video about a driver very spiritually road rage. It was very hilarious. So I'm not going to go there. I just put I liked it. I didn't respond. But I'm going to be serious with you guys. Don't get in those Facebook discussions. Don't get in those textbook arguments. Don't get in some email battle. Don't get there. I'm going to tell you, when my kids text me and they ask me questions, I got a daughter I got teenagers. Now, they're not teenagers anymore. I got grown kids, and they text all the time. Aggravating. Pick up the stinking phone. So they'll text. I need to, you know, it's like, it'll take me all day to type that. I don't have those thumbs, you know. My daughter would text me. I'll pick up the phone and she'll go, da 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 da, looking for something. I'll pick up the phone. Okay, da 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 da, I'm done. Took me 5 minutes on a phone call instead of 10 minutes of texting. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Get real! All right? What I'm saying is, I'm going to tell you, don't have to respond to all that trash out there. You know, all that, I mean, people are going to say crazy things. I've told you, I had the lady here when we had our old church out in front of that blue church. The lady looks at me and says, I hate you. Right to my face. And I go, that's okay. You know, I'm sorry you feel that way. You know, I'm okay with that if you are. Because I'm still going to love you. And she did. She called and Laura and I helped her do different situations and circumstances. And we still have a good relationship. I don't know if she still hates me or not. I don't know. I'm not going to get into those arguments. If I got something to say and you text me, if it's going to take me more than 3 words to answer on Facebook or anything, I'm going to call you, okay? I see too much garbage on Facebook. I'm sorry. I see too many homes broken. I see too many families hurt because of Facebook and because of text messaging. And I'm not, you know, I can't quote a verse on that. Although, wait, I think there's a verse here somewhere. Let's see. I was trying to remember where that verse was. Oh, right here. Look at that. Proverbs 13:16. Sensible people always think before they act, but stupid people advertise their ignorance. You know, when you put it on Facebook, you're saying, look how dumb I am. Ooh-yah! Yeah? Text message. Yeah. I told you last week, I'd rather keep my mouth shut and let people think I'm a fool than open it and prove it I am. Okay? Yeah, just don't get into those battles, all right? Think before you respond. Think before you react. You don't have to answer those emails. You don't have to answer those Facebooks. You don't have to, you know, pretty soon if they keep posting that kind of stuff, somebody's going to say, well, I know who the crazy one is, aren't they? You know, pretty soon it's like they're not responding. You know, the crazy one's very obvious. Look at what he's saying. He's the crazy one. Look what he's writing. You don't have to respond to prove who's crazy. So that's kind of a side note here. I can't give you a verse on that, although there's a verse that says a few words. We're going to get there in a few minutes that kind of talks about it. But we need to listen. We need to, you know, kind of hold things down till it cools down, okay? Kind of back up and let things cool down. I'm sure nobody here has ever said anything you regret, right? Nobody's ever done that. You know, you never just say something and, you know, as soon as it comes out of your mouth, you're going, oh, blah, 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 you want those words back. And we don't do that. We need to stop and think about it. Don't just react. Kind of hold it down. Let it cool down. Let things kind of have a little patience there. You know, and we can overcome that. And we can overcome that and think first and see that. So I'm sorry to beat up on Facebook. I'm sorry to beat up on those things. But I just see, as a minister and as a pastor, the relationships and the conversations I have, I just see so much heartache in those things, okay? And, you know, take it for wisdom, take it for just a foolish pastor, whatever you want to take. Just be careful in that area. People hide behind Facebook. People hide behind text messages. People hide behind, you know, all the blogs and all those kind of things. It's just not worth getting into those battles. You know, let them prove their ignorance and you can just sit above it. And you don't have to worry about it. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, just think a little bit. You know, think a little bit and see what happens. All right, that's number three. Let's look at number four. Ask God. Oh, wait, I got some verses to read, don't I? A gentle answer quiets anger, but a harsh one stirs it up. You know, you can either diffuse the situation or make it worse. Can you? I mean, you know, when you get angry, you know, can you raise the anger? Yeah. I've been married 36 years, 37. I'm trying to count. 37. 1976 to now. Somebody help me out here. How many years is that? Whatever. I've been married a while. I know how to push her buttons. As a matter of fact, I might be pushing one now. Yeah? I know how to, and she knows how to push my buttons. Yeah? We know what to do to one another. We know how to agitate one another. Yeah? And so I can either diffuse the situation or I can make it worse. You know, it's up to me. And so that, I love that scripture. Oh, here's that scripture that I liked. A truly wise person uses few words. Why don't you use few words? Why don't you circle that? That's kind of that Facebook stuff. A person with understanding is even-tempered. Few words. Those who text me, those who email me, those who know me, I'll, you know, somebody says, everything okay? And I'll go, K. I send a K. Yeah. That's just few words. Yeah. And so I just want to encourage you there. How about the next one? Let's look at this. Ask God for help. With my anger, honesty is the best policy. This is the gospel truth. I got to pray. Those of you who know me have been around this church long enough know that, you know, that we're going to look at a verse in a little while, and we look at a passage there. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and one of those fruits is called patience. And where does patience rate with Gary? Nowhere. All right, I battle with patience. I am not a patient person. All right, and that's why they give me a bad time about my driving. I really am a very aggressive driver. You know, patience is not my gift. And so when I read that passage, I try to glance over that, but God won't let me. I need God's help. I can't do this on my own. I like this scripture. Look at what it says. Lord, help me control my tongue. Help me be careful about what I say. I love that. I love it so much. Guess what? You guys are going to say it with me. Ha, ha, ha. I want us to say this verse together. I think this verse has great wisdom for us. And so I want all of us to say this together. If we don't get it right the first time, we'll do it again. And we'll do it again and again and again until we do get it right, all right? And so let's say this verse together. Are you guys ready? Lord, are you guys? Come on, I didn't hear enough out there. I heard a little bit over from our worship team. Come on, I got to hear the rest of you guys jump in. You guys ready? Lord, help me control my tongue. Help me be careful about what I say. I think that's a great prayer. What do you guys think? Psalms 41:3. We just had a Bible memory thing in our church. We had to say the reference, say the verse, say the reference. So they're not cutting me any slack. Man, pushing buttons today. And it's not just the taggers. You know? How do we deal with this? Lord, I need help. Are you willing to ask God for help? We cannot deal with it. I don't know about you, but I can't deal with my temper, my anger, my feelings on my own. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to tell you, they can bubble up real quick. All right? And when you're a pastor, it's really embarrassing. All right? I mean, I remember coming out of the mountains one time. I'm driving out. I had to take the kids to church camp. Great time. Drive up to Jeunesse Park, all the way up past Sonora, drop the kids off at church camp. I'm flying back down the hill. I get a guy in front of me that's going molasses. I am on his bumper trying to push him. And I mean, I'm riding him down that hill. We finally get to the passing lane. I go around past him. It's a pastor from Merced. I'm going, don't let me see me. To get out of there as fast as I can. Yeah. Lord, help me. You know, you need to know, I share this. I listen to Christian music on the radio sometimes. I pray when I get in the car. I tell you all the time, I think my grandma had it right. I shared with you many times. I thought my grandma was crazy because I wasn't a Christian at 14, 15. Every time I got in the car with my grandma, we'd go pick pears and work with my grandma. I lived with her during the summer. I loved it. We'd get in that car. I don't care if we're going to go just down the hill, which is a quarter mile down the hill and back up to get the mail. She would pray. Pray. It's like, come on, grandma. You know, wacko Christian grandma. Now I appreciate her, all right? You know, I grew up and learned something. I see why she prayed every time she got in the car. I need to do that. And I do. You know, it's a battle. You know what's funny? When I'm yelling, they don't know it. My wife does. I got the California wave this week, too. You know? Yeah, coming over the Palindale Bridge, some guy cut me. I almost hit my car, and I honked, and he waved at me. I said, hi! You know? How do we deal with our patience? I mean, Lord, I need help. I love that verse. I love the way it says, Lord, help me control my tongue. Help me be careful about what I say. I love that because I can't do it on my own. And what's exciting for me to know is this. When I cross that line of salvation, when I become a Christian, you guys hear me say this all the time. You know, a Christian, you know, I walked an aisle in a church. I'm a Christian. That doesn't make you a Christian. Getting baptized doesn't make you a Christian. Well, I do things right. I'm a good person. I try not to cuss, steal, smoke, drugs. That's not going to make you a Christian. There's an invisible line in your life that says, you know what? I got to reach a point in my life where I say something along this line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. That's really what a Christian is. It's somebody who's kind of crossed this invisible line that says, God, I'm yours. If I do it my way, I'm going to be angry all the time. I'm going to cuss, yell, scream, cut people off. I'm going to be a pain. But God, I don't want to do it my way. I want to do it yours. Come to my life. See, I got to get Gary out of the way and let God have his way. God, I'm tired of doing that. And once I do that, what's exciting is God gives me the help. Matter of fact, he calls it a helper. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He calls it a helper. It's called the Holy Spirit. That when you cross that line and you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you become part of God's family, he gives you that Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit's going to help you. Here's what he does. Here's what it is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's how I'm going to deal with my anger. I'm going to count the cost. I'm going to think before I react. I'm going to look past the words to the pain, and I'm going to ask God to help me because I can't do all of that on my own. I need help. And I'm going to ask God. He's got a spirit that's within me that's going to help me do that. It's going to help me be patient. It's going to help me deal with that love and compassion and grace. See, God's got a helper for us. And so when I read that verse, Lord, help me, I'm going, Lord, you've given me a helper. You didn't ask me, you didn't say just help. You've given me a helper. If you're a child of God, you have a helper to deal with that. I don't care what relationship it is. I don't care if it's in your family, if it's at work. I don't care what it is. I don't care who that crazy maker is. God has given you a helper to help you get through those days. You don't have to do it on your own because God's given you a helper. Are we willing to let him? See, are we willing to let God work in us? See, are we full of Gary or am I full of the Spirit? and when I surrendered my life. And what's amazing to me, and I kind of give you a little hint here, when you accept Christ, you get the Holy Spirit. You get it all right? But the problem is you fight for control of the will. You it's like, yeah, Spirit, I know you got it, but let me handle this one. I got this one. I know this ain't right, but I'm going to do it anyway. Anybody ever say something like that? Yeah, And it brings me to the last point. I must base my identity on Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I want to be like, I have value. Doesn't matter what anybody says. Doesn't matter what they post on Facebook. Doesn't matter what they text me. Doesn't matter what anybody does to me. I am loved by God. I have value. I'm important. I have a purpose in life. My value doesn't come from what other people think about me. It comes from God. Does it make sense? That way you don't have to worry about your anger anymore. I'm going to tell you, my decision is this. You know what? I got a rule in my life. I let God fight my battles. He knows a lot better. He can fight a lot better than I can. And you need to know, I really believe that. I believe God will take care of my battles. I don't have to fight them. And I let God do it. See, I'm going to base my identity on God. Look at the scripture. The fear of human opinion disables trusting in God, protects you from that. I couldn't see the apostrophe. I circled the word disables. Why don't you circle it? I was trying to figure out, why couldn't I read that right? The fear of human opinion disables. You know, we have disabilities. You know, if we let those human opinions and what others say about us, that's a disability. It hurts us. It hurts what we think. It hurts how we live. And I want to challenge you. Your identity is not based on what somebody says. It could be your spouse, it could be a parent, it could be a grandparent, it could be a brother, a sister, it could be somebody at work, it could be anybody in your life. It's not based on that. Your identity is based on what God says about you. And God says, I love you, and you're important, and you matter, and I care for you. You don't have to worry about what they say, don't have to worry about what they do. I love you. See, base your identity on Him. So count the cost. Look past the words to the pain. Think before you react. Ask God for help. And realize you are special in God's eyes. You are somebody that's important. You're not just passing through this world never to be seen again. This morning as I was walking around and working on my notes and thinking about it, we were singing a song. They sung a song and it reminded me of one of my professors. He's passed away. He was 70 some odd years old when I was in college. And that was 1976. And he's passed away since then, Dr. Charles McKay. But one of the songs she sung, it goes like this. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and ultimately bless His holy name. I thought about that man. I thought about the other professor, Dr. Hyatt. I thank God for those guys. I know they're in heaven now, and I was just thinking, you know, God, I hope they know how much I appreciate what they did. See, we never know who we are. Our identity is not based on what somebody else says. It's based on God. So you know what? I like the way I put it at the end. Look at that last scripture. I want you to just kind of wrap it up with this last scripture. Whoever believes in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into His existence. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You can walk out of this door a different person. You can leave all that anger, all that hatred, all that garbage, whatever somebody said, whatever somebody's did to you. You can leave all that in here and you walk out that door a new creation because of who Jesus Christ is. I ask that you have that this morning. That you just leave all that anger and you leave all that frustration and you leave all that garbage that you have. I don't know what relationship it might be in your life. It might be with a parent. It might be with a child. It might be with a wife, a husband. I don't know who it could be with. I want you to leave that here this morning and walk out a new creation. So at the bottom of the page, I put it this way. I'm a new creation. Are you this morning a new creation? All that trash, all that anger, those crazy makers, don't let them drive you crazy. Walk in the grace of God. Give it to others, not what they deserve, but what God has given you, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your words and Your truths. Lord, I read through Your scripture and I see so much of the battle of anger. We just looked at the book of Proverbs, Lord, and over and over and over again, we've seen the results of anger. The arguments, the hatred, the foolishness, the mistakes, Lord, all the garbage that anger causes. But we want to be people who are wise. Lord, give us a wisdom. Lord, I'm going to pray back Your word. Lord, help us with our words and with our actions You know, as I'm praying, maybe you want me to pray for you. Maybe there's some battles in your life right now. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe there's some battles. Maybe there's some burdens. Maybe there's some broken. I don't know what it is. Maybe there's a crazy maker just driving you crazy, and you want me to pray for you. Would you just raise your arm, and I'll pray for you? Yes, I see that. Yes, I see that. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Lord, I lift these up to you who are in the midst of craziness in their lives. Lord, it's so easy to let others control us. It's so easy to let others manipulate us. It's so easy for others to hurt us. But we want to take the high road, Lord. We want to take the road that you dwell on. And so, Lord, I lift these up who raise their hands. I lift them up into your presence that you may encourage them, that you may stay with them in a special way. Give them the words to speak, Lord. Help them as your words has said, and you place in their heart as your child, your spirit. Fill them with that spirit that they may overflow with the love of God, giving what's not deserved, but giving what you have given, the grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we pause into our service to give an invitation. Invitation is simple. I'm going to stand here. I'm here to pray with you. Maybe you've never crossed that invisible line of becoming a Christian, and you heard me talk about it. And I'm not talking about walking an aisle. I'm talking about getting bad. I'm talking about, have you really surrendered your life to God? I'm here to pray with you about that. Maybe you've prayed that prayer, and maybe you just had, the Spirit hasn't felt in your life very strong, and you want somebody to pray about filling of the Spirit. I'm here to pray with you about that. Maybe there's some other battles going on. Maybe there's some health issues. I don't know. This is time for God to speak to your heart. But I'm just here to pray. And we call it an invitation. I'm just here to pray with you. And I'm here to share with you during this journey. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you to stand. And we're going to sing a song. And as we sing, you just come as the Spirit leads. And I'll pray and minister to you as God leads. So let's stand and let's sing this song.